practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The word of the Lord. This evening we'll begin a study of the Lord's Prayer as found in Matthew's Gospel, which is arguably the center point of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which spans from chapters 5 through 7. And praying this prayer on a regular basis, we're certainly quite familiar with it. But how often do we think of the context in which it is given? In verse 1, Jesus begins, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Now, when you see a sign with the word "beware" on it, what do? Well, hopefully you pay more careful attention to it. Such signs can keep you from touching an electric fence, or from trying to cross a bridge that has fallen down, or from falling into a hole, eating something poisonous, or some other peril. We typically associate the warning to beware with something that could potentially put our life in danger. As famously penned by Shakespeare and Julius Caesar, "Beware the Ides of March." His first word in this chapter is to issue a warning to his disciples, a warning that is to be taken seriously and one that we cannot ignore. Don't divorce yourself too distantly from this text and this situation just because the scene Jesus describes doesn't exactly match your present experience. Jesus' warning is contemporary, very real to our own lives as the church and as Christians. And note particularly how it is phrased, how Jesus says it: "Beware of practicing your righteousness before people in order to be seen by them." That's the all-important distinction, practicing righteousness for the sake of others seeing it. Jesus is addressing the issue of motivation. But notice that assumption, if you will, that the disciples, that you and I are to be practicing our righteousness, that it's an active thing, particularly expressed in almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. And this ties into what Jesus said back in chapter 5 and verse 16. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So you are to be practicing your righteousness, leading to the Father being glorified. And while Jesus is certainly addressing motive here, notice that his focus in his instruction is on a particular manner. in which their righteousness is to be expressed, within a particular focus on secrecy. There's even a challenge to change motivations, but motivations are being challenged here by changes in practice. Now, in your giving, be secretive so that your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing, which is impossible, but don't make a fanfare of it. Similarly, Jesus tells them not to make an ostentatious show of their prayers in the synagogue, but go pray secretly, which doesn't automatically negate all public prayers or long prayers, because we have biblical examples of those even in Jesus himself. When fasting, Jesus tells them to disguise their fasting, which might almost sound hypocritical. You may be aware that the word hypocrite can be thought of as someone who wears a mask, of someone who is playing a part, and that someone's pretending to be something other than what they are, and there's an element of truth to that here. But in the Septuagint, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, a hypocrite is simply someone who is ungodly. And in the examples that Jesus gives, we read about the ungodly who manifest their ungodliness in misdirected acts of piety that are designated to be seen by men. But the thing that makes them hypocrites is the fact that they are ungodly. They are acting as if they are a different God than a kind, generous, all-seeing Father. And here's an important key for understanding chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. 10 times Jesus mentions the Father. 8 times saying your Father, 1 time saying your heavenly Father, and then the 1 time in the prayer, our Father. What God is Jesus telling the disciples they're serving? The God who is their Father and his Father. See, the hypocrites, the ungodly, do not serve that God. He's not their Father. The God they serve is themselves or other men, but it's not the Father in heaven who rewards his children. Disciples and hypocrites then differ not only in practice, but ideology. Our piety should manifest what God we're serving. The hypocrites have their practices, and the disciples have theirs, and sometimes those can look like the same thing, or they are the same thing. But the disciples are to express a different behavior and have a different motivation. We don't seek to be honored by men, but to be honored by our Father. Hypocrites have to be sure men are watching. Disciples don't have that pressure. Hypocrites invite the judgment of men, and a glory and honor of men is their reward, which is a paltry one at best. Disciples know their Father is indeed their judge, and so we seek our reward in the right place from the God who rewards the faithful. So beware, and rightly heed Jesus' warning, and set the focus of your faith in your giving, praying, and fasting upon your heavenly Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.